the British running roughshod over them? Could this be Palestine? Could this be Afghanistan? Could this be Pakistan? Is it possible that this could take place in those places? And I say to you tonight, never. But it can be us. It can be us. And right now, tonight, those of you in New York, you should be ashamed of yourself. That city should be on fire tonight. That city should be on fire starting down in the police district. That city should be on fire tonight. That should be a city under siege. Because if I go through there and say your mama's a bastard baby maker, it'll take 2 seconds for him to produce a firearm. And he will not care what happened in the next few moments. But he can watch his mama get put into a stranglehold. And his father strangled in the middle of the sidewalk, choked to death. And you will not lift a finger about it. You will not say a crossword. Professor Black Truth, I'm going to go to the phone lines here in a few minutes, brother. But this is what we've come to in the 21st century. People are blaming us and not white supremacy. They are looking for reasons and excuses to bow down. And in the 21st century, brother, can't they see white supremacy ain't taking no prisoners?
No, I think that they don't see it because there are none so blind as those who have their heads up some white woman's mind. And you know what? It ain't just the frauds, though they are leading the charge. You would have thought by now that some of these people, especially the official conductor of the coon train, would have realized that cooning is a career path that doesn't come with a retirement plan. Ask Ray Nagin. Ask Kwame the cook, Kilpatrick. Ask John Conyers. These idiots never learn. And if you follow them, then that makes you more stupid than they are. And speaking of stupid, let me go ahead and read to you an excerpt from the New York Times, because they got to make sure that they put the right spin on this. I'm going to quote directly from the July 18th New York Times posting. Quote, "It is unclear if the chokehold contributed to the death on Thursday afternoon of Mr. Garner, who was at least 6'3" tall and who friends said had several health issues, diabetes, sleep apnea, and asthma so severe that he had to quit his job as a horticulturalist for the city's parks department. He wheezed when he talked and could not walk a block without resting," they said. Now, the New York Times is looking at this and going, well, we're not sure if the chokehold contributed to his death. They don't even sit there and say it was the cause. They say we're not sure if it contributed to his death. So they're not even allowing for the fact that this could have been a factor. This is who's informing your sensibilities. You got the media hard at work doing the propaganda mill thing. And, of course, New York's mayor, or rather the overseer of the New York plantation, Bill Badass de Blasio, he had to postpone his family's trip to Italy so that he could have an opportunity to send phone calls to, quote, elected officials, community leaders, and members of the clergy, the Iron Triangle of House Negroes, Iron Triangle of the mouthpieces who are going to get out there and they're going to talk tough for 5 seconds and say this is intolerable, but all the while they're going to tell you don't do anything about it. Now, of course, what's not going to happen is you're not going to see the New York Times demand to know who the officer was who did this. In fact, if you read later on in the article, they sit there and say that they don't know who it is. And they're not demanding to know who it is.
And isn't that amazing? People had to print the information themselves because the names of the police officers. And I want to just interject for a moment to get that out there. Officers Daniel Pantaleo and Justin D'Amico were both put on duty a day after the death of Eric Garner. This is what people had to find out on their own because the newspapers in New York are making sure to cover it up. Go ahead, brother.
Oh, but the AP was able to file a lawsuit to find out whether or not Trayvon Martin had a juvenile criminal history. They had no problem filing lawsuits when a black child is murdered. But when four cops decide to carry out an execution by the state, all of a sudden there's lawsuits flying. Gee, I wonder why. You better start asking questions about a lot of these good white folk that you're letting tell you the news. People like, for example, John Miller of ABC News. This guy has been a liaison, a press media liaison for the LAPD, the FBI, and the, wait for it, NYPD. In fact, he spent most of his time as a media press liaison working for the NYPD. I think he's back there now with them. So the ties between the media and law enforcement are incestuous. And that's the reason why when they talk to the cops, they're not going to sit there and say, how many black men have you guys killed? They're going to ask that. Instead, you're going to get what the New York Times did. Almost immediately, as soon as the article begins, they start in trying to stack the deck. Well, we don't know if the chokehold contributed to his death. Besides, he had several health issues. Was this printed by the New York Times or by the New York Police Department? It's hard to tell the difference, isn't it? Because there's not one. And, of course, to have clowns out there like the official spokesman for the Coon Train sitting there saying this guy caused a lot of his own death. Who the hell you think you are? These idiots actually think they get out there and cheerlead for white supremacy, that they're going to get a few more white listeners. They think that that's what God put them on this earth to do. They think that they're going to get a few more hits. They think that this is edgy. It ain't edgy. It's stupid. It marks you as a moron. And the thing is, these mouthpieces for white supremacy, isn't it interesting how they always end up the same way? Ain't that right, Skip? Post-racial America, but I got arrested in my own home, Gates. Skip Gates made a career out of being a mouthpiece for white supremacy. He had the nerve to talk about Dr. John Henrik Clark, one of the grandmaster teachers of all time, and say that he was the paterfamilia of pseudo-academics. Skip Gates, who barely made it through middle school, he thought that white supremacy had his back until he found out that white supremacy was all over his back. And, of course, the fraud is going to get his comeuppance, too. He's going to get his nigga wake-up call. Well, in his case, nothing could wake him up. But you know what? The real problem here ain't even the NYPD. It happens to be that intelligent black society needs to understand that the freaking beef is on. The race war is on and has been. They're taking off the gloves. You're sitting here trying to act like, well, if I just keep my head low, I'm not trying to pick a fight. The fight picked you. And you're not going to talk your way out of it. You're not going to keep your head down and hope to avoid it. It's coming for you. Because this is what they've been waiting for the last 50 years to do. And you thought that the chokehold had been banned by the NYPD. And don't act like this case is the first time. There have been other cases, plenty of other cases. But it doesn't really matter. Because if Oscar Grant can be gunned down in front of an entire train station full of witnesses after he's been handcuffed and lying flat on his stomach, if that can still get him killed and the guy who does it gets off, what the hell makes you think that this will be any different? As black people, we've had this cute little love affair with trying to live with the one foot in white supremacy and the other foot in the real world. Time to choose. And if you don't choose, then you'll be dead. It's as simple as that. White supremacy is not going to let you live in your illusion much longer. You will open your eyes to the real world, or you will die in your illusion. But you will not survive in it. You can't. You won't. I'm tired of people sitting here telling me morning, noon, and night that we got better things to do. What the hell you got better and other to do than this? Now, more than ever, you better understand that unless you got some power, wealth, and influence, the civil authorities are coming for you. Simple as that. the new issue of Ebony Magazine, they actually had the nerve to put at the top of it, the wealth issue. Yeah, Black America's got a wealth issue, all right, and the issue is we ain't got it. I don't give a dang about what NFL star you want to profile. I don't care about what media mogul you talk about who got all of their wealth from King World Industries. I'm talking about the fact that as Black people, as Black men, we're being bumped off every day with impunity, and it's not all right. And the fact that the city of New Orleans has not gone up like a bonfire, that ain't all right. The fact that the NYPD are not under siege, it ain't all right. The fact that every police officer in that city is not holding their breath and is not scared to get out of their squad car and they're not terrified of every single service call wondering, whoa, is this the one where I get it, where I get popped? That ain't all right. Because when you're dealing with a bunch of thugs and criminals, the only thing they understand is force and violence. That's what they show you. If a man can simply stand there and have some clown jump on him and put him in an immediate chokehold, a move that they know causes death, that's the reason why it was banned. If they could do that and the man's not hitting, he's not flailing, he's got his hands out in a surrender pose, and you're sitting here still choking him, if that doesn't get the point across to you that the entire objective was that this man be dead or comatose, then what the hell will? The NYPD know what it means to dogpile somebody. There's a dozen different techniques to take somebody down with multiple men that don't even get the person hurt. These jumps chose the one that would kill. Now, are we thinking that the NYPD are completely ignorant of fact? The maneuver was banned. Police chief himself didn't even sit there and say, well, I'm confused. He was sitting here trying to figure out how to put the right spin on it. The tape is disturbing. No, Mr. de Blasio, and no, Mr. Police Chief. What is disturbing is the fact that you guys have been letting this go on like this. You're only speaking up now because it's been put on video. This is not a freak accident. This is standard operating procedure. The New York Police Department is the New York Death Squad, and they know this. Crime is actually lower in New York than it has been in any time in living memory. Did you know that? There are actually more murders depicted on the TV show Law and Order than there are in the actual city.
We'll come back to that here in just a moment here. I want to let you all know that in New Jersey, believe it or not, in New Jersey, if you'll all remember here, just a few days ago, July 15th, there was a memorial in Jersey City, a memorial for a man who killed a New Jersey police officer. And the mayor of Jersey City, Stephen Thulop, said that he ordered the city to take down the memorial to 27-year-old Lawrence Campbell on Monday night. Now, it looks like this memorial to this young man was on a sidewalk. But the mayor had no problem telling people that in this city you are only allowed and only authorized to give memorials to police officers. You can't give them to anybody else. Why is it that the citizenry, there's a reason for this kind of thing. When you look at the murder of someone like Eric Garner, Amadou Diallo, Sean Bell, when we go down the list, this never-ending list of unarmed Black males murdered by police departments around this country, including Jersey City, we take a look at that. Where is the mayor to be concerned that, wait a minute, you don't want a memorial for him, but you want one for the police officers who gun down innocent civilians every day? And where is your response in Black society? Professor Truth, I put up, when that woman got beat up by a cop in California here, I had asked for paralegals. I had asked for lawyers to contact me. I put up a message today asking it, and I'm asking again from this microphone. I want a paralegal or an attorney so that we can see about investigating this, because these are out of the state. If it was in the state of Louisiana, that'd be one thing, but it's outside the state. I want to subpoena these cops' records. I want to subpoena their records in New York, in Los Angeles, in the Highway Patrol. I want to subpoena their disciplinary records so we can find out how many times have they done this kind of thing in the past. Let's start finding out who our enemies are. Essential element that you need whenever going into any type of conflict is intel. You need intelligence. You need information about who you're going after. I have not received a single response to any of those inquiries. Not a single person has gotten back to me and said, TBA, you raised $100,000 for your documentary. I want to do my part now. Not a single person has gotten back to me and said, I'm a paralegal. I want to see about helping with this. Not a single one. And what does this tell us, brothers and sisters? What this tells us is that we are not prepared for battle. We are not prepared to go to war against our enemies. Because out of all of us as black folk, I can find plenty of you who can twerk and jerk. I can find plenty of you who know how to twist up a blunt. I can find plenty of you who know where we can find the weed man. Can't find one of you that can put together a subpoena or write a motion for a subpoena in court so that we can find out who our enemies are. The places where we actually need knowledge, we don't have it. But everybody knows where they can get an abortion. And everybody knows where they can get some Remy and some Tacky Yacky and some acrylic nails. Everybody knows where they can do that. But don't one of us know how we can file a motion at the courthouse. Not one of us knows how we can do that because we can't wait on Bloomberg News. Michael Bloomberg defended the police department every day that he was there. Michael Bloomberg was in bed with the murder men of Manhattan the whole time he was there. His job was to run interference for them, and that was exactly what he did. How many of us know where we can buy a taser? I'm talking off the top of your head, a taser to defend yourself against Murder, Inc. Do you know where? How many of you know where you could do that? How many of you know how to put together a petition? If police officers, you can't just take them to court. You have to get a citizen's review panel to say whether it was a dirty shoot or not. Shouldn't we have a citizen's review panel to review whether or not your actions as a citizen warranted whatever the police did? Shouldn't we have a citizens review panel that will determine whether your actions as a citizen were excessive against police? No, they just send you straight to a prosecutor. Shouldn't we have something that intercepts prosecutors and says, wait a minute, this involves a police officer. This citizen cannot be tried or cannot be judged by your standards. We have a citizens review panel that will take a look at that for us. The police will not just hand you over to a prosecutor. We have to have the citizens review panel that will determine if your actions were excessive or not. You got it for the police. Why do we not have it for the average citizen? And why are the citizens of New York not demanding such a thing? Why are the black citizens of New York not doing that? The gays said you will give us gay marriage. You will give us the same rights as heterosexuals. Why are black people in New York not saying that you will give us the same rights as police officers? Why are you not saying that? But guess what? You got plenty of Negroes in California talking about we want the right to smoke some dope. We want the right to puff some weed. But don't hear anybody saying that we want the same rights the police departments have, and we want it on the ballot now. Nobody's saying that. And the reason for that is because you care about sex and weed more than you care about survival, and your enemy knows you are weak in that way. Your enemy knows that. And the nightclubs and the dance clubs of New York will be filled with black people out there shaking their asses while the murder men of Manhattan sit outside the front door waiting and watching to see which one of you they're going to take tonight. The telephone lines are now open. The number is 646-787-1933. 646-787-1933 is your access code to Black Channel Radio program. And tonight, brothers and sisters, you're damn right. If you are listening to Tommy Frawlior after what you heard tonight, do you heard the coon train make every stop along the way? If you're still listening to them, get the hell off my website. You're not welcome here. I don't want you around. I don't want people who are going to be siding with white supremacy every other minute. I don't want you here. I don't want lukewarm. I want boiling hot. I don't want some people who got left foot in and your right foot out. If your left and your right foot ain't in, get your ass all the way out. I want people who are all the way in. So the question is, you in or you out? Because the bad guys got us in their crosshairs. Don't you see they're practicing and polishing off their moves for you here now? Professor Truth, you got cut off here before when you were informing everybody about the fact that the media is in bed with this kind of thing, which is why we can't get headlines on these subjects. We can't get the media to give us headlines about this kind of thing. You don't see Yahoo and the national media putting this on the front page of their websites. But they will put up here Solange and Jay-Z. Solange kicks Jay-Z in an elevator. Front page news. New York Police Department murders in cold blood. Nobody in the national media saying anything about this, brother. It's damn disgrace.
A disgrace and standard operating procedure. And that's the reason why those of you who consider yourself to be part of Intelligent Black Society, part of the B1 Brigade, you better understand, this place matters. There are God knows how many millions of websites, but how many podcasts, and yet there ain't but one spot who has to talk like this. One spot that says we have got to get together and understand what we're up against. Jason just hit the nail right on the head. FBI's got the 10 most wanted. How come Intelligent Black Society doesn't have its 10 most wanted? Be on the lookout for this so-called officer of the law. He's been seen in the area after having murdered someone, murdered a couple of people. We should know who these guys are, so at the very least, if officer kill or be killed runs up on you, you will know what the hell you're up against. It's time for us to understand it is better to be judged by 12 than carried by 6. And the police departments understand, they know who the bad apples are, which is half the doggone department in any given group. I don't care if it's Mayberry. And they know that if these officers wind up being subjected to the exact same amount of violence by the same people who they've been brutalizing and killing, you better believe that's going to make the officers think twice. They understand that you are a soft target because you haven't done anything. And what you have done is to basically sit there and say, ooh, that's wrong. Ooh, that's terrible. Yeah, Negroes will go to the mat for the right to have weed to get turned up. Negroes will go to the mat to have condom dispensers put in at their university because they don't want to have to buy them. Negroes will go to the mat to get Section 8 vouchers like 39,000 strong, intelligent black women did in East Point, Georgia. But when somebody points out that the police department is sitting here killing with impunity and every time they get away with it makes them bolder, when that stuff happens all of a sudden, well, we got better things to do. I'm telling you right now, if the garbage that we heard fraud, if it didn't make you throw up in your mouth a little bit, either you got a cast iron stomach or you got a cast iron brain. I have no patience for people who focus on booty shaking and talking about some drawers because that's all they're worth. And I have zero tolerance for those who sit there and make excuses for killing of black men. But I guess that only matters if you consider yourself to be one. If you're a fraud, then you can lie to yourself and tell yourself everything you want. You can tell yourself that you're an honorary member of the oppressor class. You can sit there and act as if it's all right to, and once out of one side of my mouth, I'll say that, oh, if you're a black man, you're a target. Now, the other side of your mouth, you'll sit there and say, but you painted the target on your own back. No, white supremacy painted it there. Because if a white man would not have gotten treated that way, then you cannot, with any moral authority, say that a black man should be treated that way or should expect to be treated that way. Their goal is not to sit here and have a world where we can properly anticipate the rigors and the horrors of white supremacy. Their goal is to get rid of it. And you are never going to stop the the brutality of white supremacy until you overthrow it. And you can't do that unless you can meet white supremacy on equal terms. That means you gotta have power. And power is not something that you get once every blue moon or on a lazy Tuesday or when the moon hits. Either you want it every day or you don't. The NYPD is brutalizing and killing black people single day. The Manhattan Death Squad doesn't take a holiday. So you can't either. And you're not going to talk to white supremacy. You're going to sweet talk it. You're not going to shame it into civilized behavior. That's what Mr. Garner was trying to do. I'm not fighting you. I'm surrendering. I can't breathe. He's sitting here hoping with his dying breath that he can civilize the savages. These are not human beings. They are animals. They are savage beasts. And it's time that you stop being self-conscious about acknowledging that. Who is the animal, huh? Is it the man who's trying to find a way to get some money by selling some cigarettes? Or is it the duly enshrined killer's estate? Because, you know, if this had happened in Robert Mugabe's Zimbabwe, if this had happened in Nigeria, if this had happened in Detroit and the subject and the killed was white and the killers were black, I sincerely doubt the white supremacist media machine would be sitting there saying that it's unclear if the chokehold or the shooting contributed to the death of the deceased. They'd be sitting there saying the city has a violent track record and no one's addressed it, and, you know, calls by the EP for the identity of the officers were refused. They'd be putting the spin on it that says that these are Negroes who are just out of control. But when it's a black person getting gunned down and the NYPD is sitting here clucking their teeth and, oh, we are so disturbed, the hell you are. This wasn't disturbing, this was comforting. They are comforted when they see a black man being strangled to death. They are looking and saying, yeah, that's going to teach the niggers. You got to put the fear into them.
I want you all to remember one thing. You are black first. Do you know what that means? Because it would seem to be a simple bit of etymology, but apparently escapes a lot of people. You are black first. And you better start getting that through your head. You better start realizing that that is what you are, and that is how this world and this country see you. No matter what you might tell yourself. You see, a lot of you out there think that, and I've never had a Russian Jewish girlfriend before, and I certainly wouldn't make videos bashing Jews. I wouldn't do that. People think that makes them, all of a sudden they can jump up in the 21st century and all of a sudden that they can talk some anti-Semitic talk and all of a sudden that makes them a hero. A little bit late for that. You can't sit up here and decide 30 minutes after the game is over that you want to throw a winning touchdown. And the truth of the matter is that you all may call the fraud a coon, but the real truth of it is there are a lot of you right here listening to this broadcast right now. I've got hundreds of people listening to me live right now, but a bunch of you sign up for a ticket on the coon train to listen to the fraud and Madame Noir and World Star Hip Hop and all that other detritus and frivolous, superfluous nonsense. You all love putting junk food and rot into your brains. And while you're thinking about sex and dope, white supremacy is thinking about you. Let me make something very, very clear to you, my brothers and sisters. It's once been said that just because you don't think about politics doesn't mean politics isn't thinking about you. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. Just because you're not thinking about white supremacy or you've chosen not to think about white supremacy, that does not mean that white supremacy is not thinking about you. My grandmama used to say that they be planning while we be sleeping. Old Southern woman. And she grew up during a time when they understood what that meant, when they used to see the lights on in the barns and in the houses way off the road. Today you call it rural areas. What are all those cars doing around Billy Bob's house at 1 in the morning? They're in there plotting is what they're doing. They're in there plotting. And we're all waiting for somebody to put us in a damn chokehold before we're willing to accept, okay, they're plotting against us. All right, he's strangling me now. I can't breathe. Okay, white supremacy is real. White supremacy is real. White supremacy is real. Say that after they put you in a chokehold. You want to say that after your non-black girlfriend spits on you. You want to say that after you have no other choices. You want to treat life like this is a game show or entertainment. And that's not what this is. And I don't want anybody around me who sees it that way, because those bastards who just murdered Eric Garner, they're playing for keeps. They don't give a damn that his woman and his 6 children, 6 children, the man had 6 children. They don't give a damn. They could care less. Professor Truth, we as black people have it in our heads that because we care about the children of others, that other people care about our kids. When the hell are we going to wake up and realize that they're killing us because they do not care?
Sad truth is, for most of us, we just won't. We're going to see the dead body of Eric Garner, just like we saw Oscar Grant and Sean Bell, and I'll be here till 3 in the morning. And we're going to go ahead and hide their head under the covers again. We're going to be trying to find some new and inventive way to say, well, white supremacy might be on the march, but it's only some white people. Let me tell you something. In a society where white is supreme, some is enough. All it takes is a few people to cause you major, major problems. The lynchings were not being carried out by every single white person on the planet. They're being carried out by a few, but they can be carried out with impunity. In a country where you can't even walk across the street getting arrested. So don't sit here and give me the old, well, that ain't all of them. That's you trying to find a way to talk yourself out of what you know is the truth. Turn on some more TV. Listen to some more of the fraud. I hear that he's claiming to make a documentary which ain't never going to see the light of day. Apparently it's going to be called A Fraudulent America. And I think it's an expose about scam artists on YouTube. I don't want to hear anyone telling me that, well, we need to see both sides of the issue. You will not tell me that there is a both sides of the issue. You're going to sit here and give me all that mental abstraction stuff? Okay, fine, then. Here's some abstraction for you. In every war, there are 2 sides, the right side and the wrong one. So which side are you on? Which side do you stand on? If you don't stand on the side of intelligent black society, then I got news for you. You're on the wrong side. Because intelligent black society did not run up on a cop and put him in a chokehold until dead. Intelligent black society did not say it's unclear if the chokehold contributed to the death when the chokehold was the only thing that killed him. Intelligent black society did not sit there and pretend as if a man had not just been, you know, black people don't seem to understand the kind of rituals that go on in white society. Especially the practice of offering a blood sacrifice. I mean, a lot of black people don't understand that for a lot of white people, the idea of taking a life is in fact a great and wonderful thing. It's a rite of passage. For a lot of them, it is. It doesn't matter how highly educated or highly placed they supposedly were. George Patton's family was heavy into the occult. He thought that he was reincarnated, and he ain't the only one. Nancy Reagan had occultists come into the White House, the palm reader. You have no idea how deep this thing goes. These are the kind of mental jaunts they go on. And when you are killed, you sit here and think that it was a, you want to paint it as a random act of violence. How many of these acts we got to pile up for you before you look and say, hey, there might be a pattern going on here? See, it's one thing when you got a fraud who apparently has his head so far up any females behind he can get it up that he just doesn't think about anything else. And as far as he's concerned, he's special because he got a sort of, kind of, mostly white female to give him the time of day. So as far as he's concerned, ooh, white supremacy can do whatever he wants. I got me some white draws. Good enough for a fraud. But is that good enough for you?
You know, brother, everybody wants to be black when white supremacy's kicking their ass. The Black Channel becomes the most popular place, the most popular site on the internet when white supremacy's got to axe people's throats. The night of George Zimmerman's verdict, the phones were ringing off the hook. The Black Channel was just tearing up a blue streak. Everybody loved the Black Channel then. Everybody loved it that night. Everybody was listening to the Black Channel when that was happening. Everybody wants to listen to the Black Channel, and everybody is ready to be black when white supremacy's got the blade to their neck. Everybody wants to tune in a broadcast like this when that happens. You're treating it like church, people. You're treating it like church. I go see Jesus when I get a problem, but I'm breaking every command. I'm breaking all 11 commandments when I walk out the door. As soon as my ass ain't in the crack anymore, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. That is the very antithesis of discipline. As black people, we have to get a taste and a hunger for abiding by blackness and understanding what we are. We are prisoners of war in America. We are legal aliens. And every day you walk out that door, you need to see yourself as that, as a legal alien. And that, when you see the police, they will take on a different aura to you. And when you leave the comfort of your black neighborhood, that takes on a different aura to you. And everybody who refuses to abide by the code of black first, and Dr. Claude Anderson speaks on this in our documentary 7 a.m., he speaks on this, that we need to adopt a common code of conduct. And that we as black people need to stand by that. But we are desirous to abandon that. We want every man for himself. Why? So I can live however I want to. I don't want to be organized. I want the protections of the people who are disciplined. The Panthers. The Black Channel. I want the protection of the Black Channel. I want a place where people are talking about black folk and black issues consistently. So when white supremacy starts kicking my ass, I got but people who are talking about, I know where folk talk about that all the time. Let's go pick us up some blackness from the black store. But every other day of the year, we can't find you. When it's time to talk about Troy Davis, the Black Channel blows up. When it's time to talk about the Trayvon Martins, the Black Channel blows up. When it's time to talk about the George Zimmermans getting their verdicts to walk free, the Black Channel blows up. When it's time to talk about the murder of Jordan Russell Davis, the Black Channel blows up. When it's time to talk about all those kind of things, Eric Garner, everybody knows where to find blackness when their life is on the damn line. But every other day of the year, you want to sit up here and tell me that you don't know where to find us. When it comes time for us to get together and congregate, you don't know where to find us. Don't know where we are. But when your Zimmerman shows up for you, you can find the Black Channel. And I am saddened to say, it breaks my heart to say that Eric Garner just got his visit from his George Zimmerman. He didn't see it coming. He didn't know it was coming. He didn't know that that day was going to be his last day alive. He didn't know that. Brothers and sisters, the time for you to be preparing to fight against white supremacy is before you hit that street, not after you're on it. We need to be ready and unified as a whole and a common front. We need to have a unified front before we walk out that door. You need to have a situation where the police roll in packs. You need to be rolling in packs. You know the police are never going to come after you one at a time. They've never done that. Malcolm X talked about that. They don't come after you one at a time. They didn't even touch Eric Garner before there were six of them. And if there were six of them, there should have been 20 of us. Sitting right there at the ready. And telling him, you come with us, and if you guys try anything, it's going down. Brothers and sisters, they take you as lambs to the slaughter because you walk in by when you walk in the front door. That's why they're slaughtering you like lambs. And you think that you can just jump up when you want a coon and buffoon, you'll tune in to the fraud and world star, hip hop and all the rest of them. But when it's time to be an adult, then you'll come find the black channel. When it's time to put on your big girl pants, now you come find the black channel. But every other day of the year, you want to mock empowerment. You want to mock black first. You want to mock black empowerment. You want to mock intelligent black thought. It's cool to be mocking it because you just want to be entertained. I don't want anybody tuning in to listen to me who wants to be entertained. You want to be entertained, carry your ass. The New York Police Department will entertain you with a nightstick up by your head all damn night long. You go do that. I don't want anybody who's looking for a damn savior. We said this before. Professor Truth said we're not looking for followers, we're looking for recruits. And I'm not looking for followers, I'm looking for leaders. And I want to know who is ready to do something about them. So it's time for us to get our game together. So I'm calling tonight. Put your cards on the table. Whether you're listening live or listening recorded, I want to know where our paralegals are in California, in New York, in Jersey, in Atlanta. I want to know where you are because I want to take some action. It's time for us to find out where our enemies are. I'm in Louisiana, but we got black females. It's a ton of all work at the damn courthouses. You people see these cops walking into these buildings every day. You want to tell me that you can't get us no information on them? Damn that. I want to know where they are. I want to know who they are. And I want to know their records. Because national news media is beholden, they have a vested interest in maintaining the white supremacist power structure, which means we better speak out for ourselves. And once we start saying those kind of things, things will change. That cop in New Jersey, we ought to have both sides of the story. The cop in California, we should have both sides of the story. We need to know what is his record, because when they kill us, the first thing they want to talk about is, well, you know, he was selling cigarettes and he had been warned and arrested before for selling cigarettes. Wait a minute. How many complaints has this cop had? Because he didn't just jump up one day and decide to start slapping strangleholds on people. He's been doing that for a while. That is a repeat offender. That was the technique of a repeat offender. That we document and target our repeat offenders so that people know that when things happen, wait a minute, this guy was no angel. Don't you dare try to sit up here and act like this guy was innocent. And if they try to be, well, it's not all right to do that to people, you say yes. And that's why we want to know, why come you and the media were not talking about this day and night? O.J. Simpson was accused of killing his ex-wife. And they went on a 10-year jihad, a 10-year crusade against him. White supremacy is assaulting us daily, and the media is holding no vigils, no crusades against them. Nothing. Nothing. Nothing at all. Professor Truth, as it's a damn shame that nobody wants to. I mean, it's a damn shame that the Black Channel becomes extremely popular when it's time for people to congregate to finally go against white supremacy. The problem is they'll abandon it the very next day, just as soon as they've gotten vented over it.
Of course, reminds me of what Martin Luther King said after President Kennedy was assassinated. He said, we're a 10-minute nation. 10 minutes from now, we'll have forgotten about it. He was talking about Black people. He wasn't talking about America. So all the people who are coming here because you need to have someone who voices your outrage, you're part of the problem. You're part of what's wrong. You're part of the reason why Eric Garner is dead. He's dead because, unfortunately, he's not a people such as they are, who are much more interested in being caught in the moment. They do not commit to anything other than trivial matters or pursuing a 5-minute pleasure, whatever that pleasure may be. They can hold grudges against each other over this stuff, but when it comes time for the hard stuff, the concrete stuff, you can't get them all in the same room. And if you're one of those people, that's part of the reason we set up this kind of forum, this kind of place. Weed you out. Because you're not going to sit here with one toe in coon country, and then when something bad goes down, all of a sudden you need to find the adults, you need to find the serious people. Well, serious people ain't looking for you. White supremacy is not going to patiently wait until you finally get your act together and pull your head out of your behind or out of some white woman's behind. Ain't that right? Fraud. Supremacy's on the march. And it's making it known that as of now, it's open season on you. Eric Garner may not have had any idea what was about to happen, but then again, he'd been arrested more than 30 times already. I guess it's understandable that at this point it was standard operating procedure. At least he thought that standard operating procedure was to harass and arrest him. He realized standard operating that he was actually had 30 exceptions to the rule and that the rule was about to run up on him. White supremacy was not playing with him. And according to his attorney that he had through legal aid, he was going to take all of the previous harassment cases and the complaints that he had to court. He never made it. The lawsuit on his behalf going on is going to be a wrongful death suit. And that ain't right. Now, as intelligent Black society, we see it clearly. But we also have got to have a zero tolerance policy for all these Negroes out here who want to be part-time intelligent Black society. They want to be intelligent Black society when they're angry. Or rather, they just want to come here because then this is entertaining. We don't do entertainment here. And you will get your walking papers. And when you do, you can wait until Officer Friendly runs up on you. And it won't be Eric Garner getting choked to death. It will be you. And the same way that nobody spoke up for him, ain't nobody going to speak up for you. And this would actually be good. Because all the people out there who are part-time concerned and every blue moon and the rest of the time you want to go back to watching The Real Housewives of Who Gives a Damn, you're part of the problem. You are just as complicit in the death of Eric Garner as Officer Killer Brother. You are part of the problem. You are just as guilty as the fraud. You are as big a problem for us as anyone who would kill a Black man or make an excuse for the killing of a Black man. And we will not tolerate you here. We've already had people got bounced tonight, and there will be more to get kicked out. This ain't a crack up, it's a crack down. We are not looking to appeal to everyone, because not everyone is for us. And it is too late for us to be sitting here making room for people who kind of don't know. I did an entire video about 3 reasons to support 7 a.m., and one of the reasons that I gave, reason number 2, the age of excuse is over. As Jason beautifully put it, all you I don't know Negroes, you're about to be shown the door. And after you get shown the door, you're going to be shown an early grave. See, intelligent Black society doesn't have to pick you off. White supremacy will do that. And you will deserve what you get. Because if it's this late in the game and you still don't get it, you still need someone to paint it for you in boxcar-sized letters side of a barn because you're just dumb. If you really don't understand that what happened to Eric Garner was not an accident, It was not an unfortunate happenstance. It's standard operating procedure. And the only difference between you and Eric Garner is he was the guy that got to that time. If you really don't get it, then you never will.
That could have been any of us, brother. That could have been any black man in New York City or America. There was nothing special about Eric Garner. There was nothing special about the sidewalk he was standing on. There was nothing special about that day of the week that he was killed on. There was nothing special about the neighborhood that he was in. Nothing special about his life and times. That could have been any of our brothers, any of our sons. And if you are a black person, a black single mother, a black single father, a black married couple, a black person in America, and you are not teaching our sons and daughters about the fact that police see you as the enemy, and you must understand that if you are not doing that, you are committing treason against your own children and your own people. If you ever again sit in the company of somebody who uses words like y'all too militant, ooh, that militant talk, meanwhile they are carting black men and black women, but mostly black men, out on stretchers and in body bags, while you scared niggas over here talking about, oh, that's too militant. You're too, all that militant, all that black talk. But as soon as the police open up the death squads, all of a sudden everybody wants to come congregate at the black channel. Everybody then wants to come adherence to black empowerment and black first. Yeah, because cooning didn't work. You see, you tried to coon your way through life, and it didn't work. You tried to yes-a-boss your way through life, and it didn't work. You tried to yes-a-massa your way through things, and it didn't work. You tried twerking and jerking and whoring your way through things, and it didn't work. White supremacy doesn't care how much you beg, how much you bow, how much you bend, how much you borrow, how much you plead, how much you scrape. They don't care who you slept with, and they don't care what sex acts you're willing to do. With white supremacy, you are either in or dead. And that's why they don't care. That's why the fact that you're telling them, you tell me if Eric Garner said his girlfriend was white, tell me how that would have saved his life, people. Tell me how that was going to save his life Thursday. Tell me. Tell me what that would have done to save his life. If Eric Garner had said, yes, sir, one more time, tell me how that would have saved his life. Tell me. Tell me what any black male has ever been able to do to appease white supremacy. Because some folks think that you can bow and scrape, and they've got whole broadcasts and whole internet shows that they've set up for the reasons and for the purposes of promote the coon view of life. Whole outlets that they put up to try to, and where they gather other like-minded bowers and scrapers. And this is why I have a problem with the older civil rights generation. You hear a bunch of old men and a bunch of old men who spent their lives bowing and scraping. And then they find some younger men who are willing to sell their souls for an octoroon. They're willing to sell their souls for a non-black female. Will do anything to get it. And they see us as the enemy on Thursdays, on Tuesdays. And they ask, okay, we're back with white supremacy again. Everything's cool. And as I said before, you Negroes are the real problem, because white supremacy would not be able to make the progress it does otherwise. If you were wondering, people, what the problem is, understand, for those of you out there, if you wondered if you were on the coon train with the murder of Eric Garner by the New York Police Department, captured on video for the whole world to see, if you wondered if you were on the coon train, if you've heard this before outside of this place and you were laughing and giggling with the people sitting there, you a problem.
So, you know, I don't understand. Like you said in your show a couple of times, you said sometimes we go ballistic. Just like at a time you said in your show a couple of months ago, you said, listen, highway pulled me over. I ain't going to say what the fuck you stopped me for. You don't start off with, yes, sir. Why did you pull me over? You know, you don't start off by just cursing your ass off and threatening motherfuckers always picking on me, this and that. Especially if this is the first time you ever encountered this cop.
Right. Now, I want to say this to people, too. I want y'all to listen to this very well. Just because there's a camera on you does not mean the cop still won't whoop your ass.
Thank you.
So don't get Billy Badass because somebody's right there hyping you up talking about we recording it. And let me tell you something. That dude did cause a lot of his own death because he sat there and thought because they're recording it, I can be belligerent with these cops. That dude did cause a lot of his own death because he sat there and thought because they're recording it, I can be belligerent with these cops. That dude did cause a lot of his own death because he sat there and thought because they're recording it, I can be belligerent with these cops. I'm just telling you from my point of view. And a lot of you niggas don't get it. The people who are around you egging you on ain't going to do shit when they start whooping your ass. See, they start whooping his ass. And the people who were there were just filming and talking. They didn't do shit to help him.
Now, just for the record, this was the Coon Train conductor who told a bunch of people that if they called me to harass me and if I had them put in jail, that he would pay their bail. He told them to harass me. He didn't do it himself. He told them to call me up and harass me. The guy who just gave out that advice to his listeners, and then he's telling all of you, oh, but don't do that because if the consequences come down, nobody will save you. You see, when you ride the Coon Train, that's what happens to you. But then people want to go and people want to sit here and bow and scrape. You want to sit here and play dress up with the coons of the world. But then when your ass is in a crack, you come scrambling for the adults over at the back channel. No more. You want to be children? You get over there with the kids. You get over there in the playpen. You get over there in the sandbox. But you cannot sit here with us, not anymore. White supremacy is just taking bodies, and Eric Garner found that out the hard way. And you got a bunch of Negroes out here that just so long as they can get their hands on as many Italian draws or Dutch draws or Russian draws or Chinese draws or whatever they can get their hands on, the whole world is just fine. They don't give a damn about the fact that we are black people. That's just optional to them. Being black is optional right up until the police show up. Now, as soon as the squad car shows up, all of a sudden, you're black. But before he got there, damn black empowerment. All those militant Negroes over there talking about this black power stuff. Yeah, it was this black power stuff till the squad car showed up. Then it became black empowerment. I don't fool with y'all. I don't fool with people who want to bounce back and forth. And if I catch any of you who I see over there, if you comment on my videos, anything, I'm going to block you. No games, no joke, no hyperbole.
Look it up.
If I catch you over there, you're gone. Because in the 21st century, I'm not going to have any people around me who are playing games because my opposition, my enemies, my opponents, my adversaries just choked a black man to death in the streets of Staten Island. They just strangled a black male to death. That was what my enemies just did. That's what they play like. They don't play for fun. They play for keeps. You want to know where the Ku Klux Klan is? They evolved. You talk about all these white around here, these militants, those are the real militants, but you never hear the coons, you never hear the fraud followers, you never hear the world star hip-hop crowd, you never hear the bastard baby maker crowd, you never hear the hotep happy Sammy super slut crowd sit up here and talk about the white militants. They don't mock white militants. They want to mock you and me, but they don't mock them. Won't say a word against white daddy getting armed. Because in their world, they think they got a secret key or a secret code that gives them the inside track. I'm on the inside. White supremacy is not my problem. I've got a special code. I speak a special language that allows me to stand next to them, and I'll be okay. I got my super dandy camouflage on, don't you see? Right up until the moment that they grab you. Then all of a sudden, oh, I'm black after all, aren't I? But you were talking about us the entire time. And many of you are comfortable with this situation as it is. Many of you are happy with it as it is. Everybody's happy with it until their Zimmerman shows up. You want to know where your white militants are? You know what? There's a bunch of them who call themselves militiamen. But do you know how many of these militia people and these hate group members are on the police department? I thought y'all learned something from watching Mississippi Burning. You like movies so much. You like watching HBO so damn much. And you didn't pay any attention to the fact that how many of the Ku Klux Klan members were members of the Dallas Police Department, Selma Police Department, Biloxi Police Department, the New York Police Department. And I'm telling you that in the year 2014, ain't a damn thing changed. The Ku Klux Klan is not dead. The Ku Klux Klan is walking the beat on 42nd Street. The Ku Klux Klan is walking beat down Broadway. It is stopping and frisking brothers in Times Square. The Ku Klux Klan pulling your mama over on Interstate 10 in Los Angeles. All the way through Houston, New Orleans, and beyond. The Ku Klux Klan is handing out tickets across 110th Street. You're waiting for them to show up with their dress whites on. You're waiting for them to show up with their robes and their red patch with the white cross. You're waiting for them to show up like that. That's how intellectually lazy we are. We want the Ku Klux Klan to show up dressed up like a bunch of damn cartoon characters. Like we're at Six Flags watching the Mickey Mouse and Goofy. There's Mickey Mouse. There's SpongeBob. There's Ku Klux Klan. There's Daffy Duck. That's what we're waiting on. We want somebody to force us to stand up to white supremacy. Don't you know they ain't gonna force us to do a damn thing? They are never going to come against us as a fully fledged standing army. They've never done that. And they're never going to do it. Hell, they didn't do that in Selma. Black folk had their march, and they sent just enough police to deal with that march. They have never had a standing army against us. They have always launched a covert and guerrilla war against us. That is the way it has always been. It's a war of attrition. Two of you here, one of you there. Three of you here, two of you there. One of you here, two of you there. If I ask you where can we get a taser, you can't tell me. If I ask you where we can get some red bottoms, my inbox will be flooded. And I have never seen a war that was won by the styling of your footwear or the cut of your trousers. The truth is that black people are looking for an excuse to be exterminated. And I ain't trying to join those of you who are happy with that turn of events. It's the 21st century. I know who the enemy is. I know what he talks like. And I know the people who are trying to go along to get along. And everyone who's treating this like a game or a joke or like this will be something that we can be black when it's convenient. I want you to know that history is going to remember you. History is going to remember you, the liars and the frauds and the con men and the cowards. You gutless, spineless cowards who sat there and were on Facebook mocking us and on Twitter mocking us and in the street mocking us. But you'll be crying enough when they show up for you. You boo and you sing the blues when that happens. The time for you to be getting upset about the next Eric Garner is with this Eric Garner. And if we'd been upset over Sean Bell, we never would have gotten to Eric Garner. And if you had been upset over Amadou Diallo, we never would have gotten to Sean Bell. And if you had been upset over Abner Louima, we never would have gotten to Amadou Diallo. You get the point now, damn it? Do you get the damn point that we as black people do not have to agree on every single thing, but there are two things that we must agree on. We must agree that we are black first, not men, not women, not children, not Americans, not even human beings. We are black first and everything else second. And the next thing we have to agree upon is that since we are black, we are an oppressed people, and the only way to alleviate our damnable situation is through power, wealth, and influence. Those are the two things that we as Africans around the world must agree on. And as long as we agree on that, everything else is ancillary. How you feel about being gay is ancillary. Why? Because being black first is the most important thing. How you feel about feminism is ancillary. Why? Because what we feel about black first is the most important thing. Where you live is ancillary. Why? Because what you believe about black first is the most important thing. What your religion is ancillary. Why? Because what you believe about black first is the most important thing. There is no reason for us to ever argue or fight over anything because we all can come to an agreement that we are black first. And that as long as we maintain that, everything else is ancillary. No reason to argue over that. But this upsets you people. This upsets you because you want me to tell you that you can go back to being a bunch of damn children again. You want me to tell you that you can go back to bedtime for Bonzo. You want me to tell you that you can have World Star Hip Hop Monday through Friday and the Black Channel on Saturdays and Sundays. The truth is that most of you want to go back out there and hope that, well, hopefully Eric Garner, maybe he just did something. Maybe if he had just, I don't know, just not gone outside. That's the point that we're getting at to now, Professor Truth. We have black people who are saying that if we just don't go outside more than just to go to the store. Brother, don't you know that that kind of mentality that we as black people, we got black people and other black people that the only reason you should go outside is to just go to the store. You go to the store and go home. So in other words, their solution to white supremacy is that black people enact a sundown town mentality on ourselves. If that is not the quintessential example of the conquest and the triumph of white supremacy, that black people would enforce upon themselves a sundown town mentality. Brother, if that ain't it, I don't know what the hell is.
Of course. This is what happens when you have people who have practiced being cowards for the longest time. Look, when you got somebody who's acting like a beast toward you, you're confronted with a savage, you got one of two options. You can either gird your loins, grab your blades, and get ready to slay the beast, or you can run and hope that you run faster than he does. Well, I don't know about you, but Professor Truth don't run so fast. This, by the way, just in, got sent this on Facebook, apparently, and Jason touched on this, the police officer, or rather the member of the New York branch of the American Death Squad, who executed Eric Garner, this scumbag's name, Daniel Pantaleo, that's his name, so-called 8-year veteran of the New York Death Squad. He's been placed on desk duty. He's not even suspended. Put on desk duty. But it's interesting, and I wouldn't expect this from the Daily News. They pointed out that Garner was not given any sort of medical aid at the scene. Quote, even after the arrival of an EMT 4 minutes into the video, no medical aid is provided to Garner. He's instead just loaded onto a stretcher and wheeled off. You know, they give more consideration to beasts bred for slaughter than they do to a black person. Now, you need to understand that. And the punk who did it, the thug, Pantaleo, is shown standing a few feet away, chatting amiably with a uniformed colleague. Near the end of the clip, he gives a satiric wave to the person shooting the second video. What Jason told you about, you can videotape it, and it doesn't mean a thing. He's sitting here letting you know, yeah, you got me on video, so what? I'll ride a desk for a couple of weeks, and then I'm back on patrol to find my next victim. Now, you need to understand that this is what you're up against. When some fraud tells you that you cause a lot of your own deaths, no, you cause a lot of your own stupidity when you talk like that. But I wouldn't expect a fraud to speak the truth. And by the way, Mayor de Blasio, he's started his little holiday in Rome. Well, his mourning came to an end. But later on in that New York News article, I scrolled down and I see a picture of Eric Garner's widow. And here she is with Al Sharpton. This woman's breaking down in tears. It looks eerily familiar to the picture of Emmett Till's mother collapsing in church as she showed the open casket of what they did to her son. It doesn't change. The beasts that you are up against don't change. The times may change, but these people don't. And you are just on a collective death watch, waiting to see when they come for you. Well, they're coming. And all the coon talk ain't going to save you. And all of the frauds, fakers, and bastard baby makers who get their daily bread or are hoping to get a radio contract for white supremacy, they ain't going to save you. The only thing that's going to save you is power, wealth, and influence. And you ain't getting that from the oppressor class. You're not getting from the same culture that is cheering on murderer Pantaleo. Now, you know doggone well that if this was a black man who was shown on video choking a cop out, even if the cop pulled a gun on him for no reason, just walked up on him, pulled a gun and said, I'm going to kill you, nigger. If the black man sat here and choked him to death, do you think that the cops would be sitting there saying, you know, no harm, no foul, the guy had it coming? They would not. The DA would have already indicted. He'd be sitting behind bars awaiting trial, and you better believe he'd be on trial for his life. And the media would not be sitting there saying that it is unclear whether or not a chokehold contributed to the death of officer who gives a damn.
We're going to go ahead and open up the phone lines here now. Let me get caller from the spot. You're live with the Black Panel. Boy,
you know what I'm saying? Then, you can't really talk that shit unless you're self-employed. You can't talk that shit then.
Well, this is what happens when you allow the deadbeats to get near a phone.
They must have weed half off in California. I hear they cut the prices recently.
Area code 256 now. Is that the Carolinas? Somebody looked it up for me real quick. Is that, no, 256, is that Mississippi? Is 256 Mississippi is what I'm thinking. Somebody looked it up real quick and find out. Area code 256. Let me get caller from 918. You're on live with the Black Channel.
Yes, sir. I got into a conversation with one of my prior shipmates. I'm
okay.
A service member,
down.
Okay?
slow
his,
down.
His point was,
Hold on a second. You're going to just sit here and talk over me, buddy? What the hell is your problem?
No, sir. I didn't mean to do that.
What is your name?
Jonathan, sir.
Hello, Jonathan. Where are you calling from?
Lancaster, California, sir.
Lancaster, California. What's on your mind?
Yes, sir. What's on my mind, sir, is that I got into a debate earlier with one of my prior service friends. We were in the service together when we were stationed in Japan. But his point was that we should bow down and do what the law enforcement says, you know, because it ain't worth your life to go against it. My point was that, you know, people like Martin Luther King and other activists, you know, actually laid down their lives to do those type of things. And if history had ever shown that, you know, people were willing to stand up and do something about it, you know, they had to do it, you know, through action, that talking and diplomacy wasn't going to get it done. You know, he said, well, explain it to your daughter whenever you're dead, you know. And I told him, like, I'll teach my daughter to live with honor, that it's better to stand on your feet and go out that way than it is to die bowing down. But my point to you, sir, would be that it's not just a black and white issue at this point, sir. It's more so of a haves and haves not, and how far are the American people willing to go before they're willing to do something about this corruption and these law enforcement officers that feel like they can kill and do whatever they want to anybody they want to, and they're just going to get off.
Okay. Let me ask a couple of questions here. First of all, how old are you?
26, sir.
26. What branch of the military are you in?
Navy.
Okay. Let me explain a couple of things to you here first. First of all, you are in the United States military, and they teach you that you are supposed to be following orders even if it costs you your life, correct?
Yes, sir.
That you are supposed to defend the Constitution and the people and the Constitution of the United States, so help me God, even if it costs you your life. Now, isn't that amazing that you were also talking to a fellow service member who took the same oath that you all would put your lives on the line if it meant defending the citizens? They want you to defend every citizen except yourself and your family. Now, that they don't want you doing. That guy just told you that he is willing to die for orders from a superior officer, but he is unwilling to die to defend his family. Now, that should tell you something right there by itself. Here's the next thing. Are you black?
I'm mixed, sir. Actually, I'm biracial. My mother's white. My father's black.
Okay. Well,
so
I'll let
on both sides of the track.
Well, I will let you determine what it is you want to be. But if you're going to sit here and talk about us, about the haves and have-nots, understand something, brother. I'm black. My biggest concern is not the American people. Why? Because I am not treated as an American person. You want me to give a consideration to society that the society never gives to me. Eric Garner did not get the benefit of the doubt of being an American. He was a black man. So was Sean Bell. So was Oscar Grant. So was Rodney King, and you get the point. So you are asking for a consideration that this society has never given me. So when you talk about the American people and an American problem, well, that's real nice for Americans. Unfortunately, I'm not considered an American. I'm black. So you see, I see the world through black eyes and the black experience because I am a black person, and this society has designated me a black person. Now, if that ever were to change at some time in the distant future, and I did wake up one day and was actually an American with all of the rights and the ability to abuse those rights and privileges and the ability to abuse those privileges as an American, maybe then we can have this conversation. But right now, you just invoked the idea that we should be concerned about, quote, American issues. That's make-believe. That's fantasy. You're telling us to act as if we are in a situation that we're not actually in. Well, just keep pretending and play along and behave like you're there. And eventually, when you do get there, see, you were already playing along, so you were already prepared. No, I'm going to deal with where I'm at. And if I ever get there, I'll talk about that then. Brother, we are black first. We don't have American problems. We got black problems. You show me one white female or one white male ever that you can show me, ever, ever, if this is a have and have not issue, show me one white female ever, ever, listen to me, ever, show me one who got the hell beat out of her on camera by a black police officer. Can you show that to me? Because we've been police officers in this country for over a century. Can you show me one white female who got beaten to death or choked to death by a black police officer? Name just one.
Honestly, you couldn't do it, sir. I mean, that wasn't the point of the argument.
Okay,
my
but that
point
is
being,
the point.
Like,
yes,
shut
it
up.
Is. Yes, it is. It's the point. I'm talking about what you said.
Yes, sir. But from the same perspective, I mean, I'm mixed, so that line in the sand isn't as easily drawn for me. And I've experienced racism from both sides of the tracks.
That line in the sand is there. You let the police roll up on you. Let me just tell you right now, if you were with two of your black friends and you all get accused of raping a white girl or robbing a liquor store, you are going to get the same time as the rest of them. You're definitely going to get the same charges. You might, if you weren't the trigger man, you might get a slightly lower sentence. But you are fooling yourself if you think that this society sees you as anything other than black. Now, you can claim whatever you want to claim. You go right ahead and you do that. I'm not here to convince you of anything. You don't want to be black? Brother, you go right ahead. I'm just letting you know that, by the way, when you walk out that door, everybody else sees you that way. By the way, just thought you should have a heads up.
Trust me, sir, I didn't need a heads up. I grew up in Oklahoma where it was racist, and we still deal with a lot of racism, but that is to say you can't excuse the black community from being racist either. Because I got dumped for being half black.
Black people cannot be racist, son. That's a physical impossibility. Black people are physically impossible.
Sir, that is certainly a possibility.
No, okay, define racism. Tell me what it is.
Racism is judging another class of people or another culture of people by the skin color, the color of their skin
Wrong.
That
is called prejudice.
Which is a subcategory of racism.
No, it is not. They are two separate species. Racism.
How is that not?
Son, you're about to learn something. Racism is a group activity. It requires power, wealth, and influence. Racism is when one group of people who have power, wealth, and influence abuse that against a weaker group of people based upon the color of their skin. If you do not have the power to be racist against somebody else, in other words, if I don't have the power to take something, if my group does not have power to take something from another group of people to oppress them systematically, because racism is a systemic practice. It's not one guy don't like you because you're black or I don't like him because he's Mexican. It is a systemic practice exercising my power over another group of people based on the color of their skin. Without that power component, there's no such thing as racism. It's just he doesn't like you. Let me give you a better analogy. When George Zimmerman was stalking Trayvon Martin, that was not racism. When George Zimmerman shot Trayvon Martin, that was not racism. When George Zimmerman and the police colluded against Trayvon Martin, that was not racism. When George Zimmerman stalked Trayvon Martin because he was black, shot Trayvon Martin because he was black, the police let him off because he was black, and then a jury acquitted him of murder, that was when it became racism. A system of a group of people who have the power to victimize another group of people based on the color of their skin. If George Zimmerman had been shooting Trayvon Martin screaming, nigger, nigger, nigger all day, that's not racism. That's a bigot. That's a prejudiced bastard. But it doesn't become racism until his group gives him the power to do it. Once they gave him the power to do that, now it's racism. Now it's an American institution. Now it is lynching. Now it is Mississippi burning. Now it is Emmett Till. Now it is Dr. King. When that happens, you bought into a fallacy because I suspect you may want to believe it. The other part because you're young and you need to get over that. I've seen just as many black males and high yellow black males get gunned down in California as I have anywhere else across this country. And for you to say, I've got a foot in both worlds, I got a foot on both sides of the tracks, that tells me that you are woefully naive. And I mean that as respectfully as I can say that. You are woefully naive, brother. There is no such thing as both sides of the tracks. There is no part of white society that accepts you. There's nowhere in white society that you can go where you are accepted as a white person. Nowhere you can go. Show me the birthplace and the origin place of mixed people. Show it to me. Tell me the place where mixed people came from. Show me their cultural heritage and their cultural legacy. Show it to me, son.
Well, if you mean it from the historical standpoint of America, then yeah, obviously it was massive raping young black girls, and then
anywhere. That, show me the place
people,
on earth
people,
where people
of
show
a,
me the
people,
origin,
people of
son.
A mixed complexion and people
son,
of a mixed complexion.
Show me the
came
place
from,
where mixed people's legacy comes from. Show me the great legacy of mixed people in history. Show me that great place, because I can show you ours as Africans from Ethiopia to Egypt. I can show you white peoples from Ireland to the Anglo-Saxons. Show me the great historical places of mixed people. Show me their legacy. Show it.
You know, there's really not a legacy for that.
Now, do you notice how many questions I've asked you and you've had to say, no, it's not. No, it isn't. No, well, it's not there. It's time for you to start reexamining your worldview. Once you start having to answer, I don't know, to that many questions, I don't see it, no, it's not there, but I believe in this thing. That's called religion. That's called a belief system. And belief systems are fine as ideals. Ideals are a wonderful thing. I've got them too. Ideals become dangerous when you try to live your life as if the world agrees with your ideal, when all you really brought is a belief system. Now, here's the other thing that I have that I'm wondering here. Now, how long have you been listening to my broadcast?
For the last about half hour or so.
So you just started listening today?
Yes, sir. Well, there was a young lady that posted that you were commenting about what we were talking about. So I just tuned in to see what you had to say and have been listening since.
Okay, just understand something, okay? You cannot complain about white supremacy, racism, bigotry, or white hatred as long as you say I have one foot on either side of the tracks. Okay?
I just don't think it's that simple. That'd be like me saying my mother is an evil bigot because she's a white person.
Did I say you had to
and
say that?
No, but I'm saying you would have,
okay,
you would have to say that.
No. You said that's the same as me saying nobody said that, so you're just making that up yourself. I'm not going to argue against things that you are talking about. I'll argue against what I'm saying, but I can't argue against stuff you make up in your own head. I can only argue against the things that I say. So nobody said that. Did I mention your mother one time? Whoa, son, have I mentioned your mother even one time?
The point being that
son,
I can't
son,
ask, but,
did I mention your mother?
I'm not your son. I'm not your son. Listen how ignorant you sound. I'm not your son. I am not your son. My father was a crackhead black man that left my mother high and dry. All right, and my
and
mother took care
like
of us. She never taught us to see race. She never taught
like
us to see race. But a man
well,
like you promoting racism,
your
you're doing exactly what these white people want. You're doing exactly what they want. Reigniting the race wars until people annihilate each other instead of trying to find...
Your mother taught you to be weak is what happened. Your mother taught you to be weak, and she taught you to bow to white supremacy. Now, do you all notice he did not get upset when we talked about black folk? He didn't get upset about that. He called in specifically to argue in favor of white supremacy and the white side of his family. Now, he's arguing in favor of that. As far as black folk, he don't give a damn about that. What happens to black folk, that's not bothering him. But you notice that he got ventilated about his mother. So his dad is a no-good crackhead, but his mama is the good white precious ivory-skinned queen. And do you all think that he is going to lift a finger? That is the bad side of biracial people. That's why we tell them you got to be all in or nothing, because that guy right there, he'll snitch to the cops. That guy right there will tell you where tell them where slaves are hiding. Dr. John Henry Clark never got to write his book, Bastards of History. We might have done well to have that. Caller from 813, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Black First, Jason, and Professor Black Church. This is Jason calling from Raleigh. How you brothers doing tonight?
What's on your mind, brother?
Well, first of all, that young man that just called in, you took the words right out of my mouth when I said, yes, that's the product of biracialism. For those that like to sit there and say, oh, I can sit there and be with a white woman and be for the black community, but you leave behind confused children. Anyway, this man that was choked to death, the black woman that was beat down by the cops, and the long lineage of history of everything that's going on, I'm really curious to see what black people are going to do. I posted earlier that what are they going to do? Petition, sign a petition, march, pray. Are they really going to get up and do some action? This went on this week, that man was choked out, and what do the people do? What do all the black folks in Raleigh do today? Run downtown because J. Cole was doing a $1 concert. He gave a surprise announcement on where he was going to be, and all of downtown Raleigh was full of black folks breaking their neck to get down there to go see some rapper rap about whatever. They could care less about what's going on. That is what we are dealing with, folks. So the group that is here of intelligent black society that is sitting here right now, this is it. We have to stand together, and we have to come forward and make a proper stand, okay? How long are you going to sit here and run to the Al Sharptons and run to your pastors and pray that white supremacy take it easy on you, okay?
Well, I mean, but we don't have a culture of standing up for ourselves like the previous caller.
No.
He didn't have a culture. He has a culture of dying under white men's orders. If they send him to Iraq, he will proudly go and gladly go to die. And if they send him to Afghanistan, he will proudly go and gladly go to die. And if they send him to Russia or South America or the moon or the fifth dimension, he will gladly go under their orders to die. It is only when we talk about doing what's in his own best interest for himself and his people, all of a sudden, as Malcolm X said, you bleed for white people. When it comes time to defend your own people, you ain't got no blood all of a sudden. That's what he just showed you there. Now, the next thing is, he said that his daddy was a crackhead. Well, first of all, that tells us what kind of white woman your mom is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not taking shots at him. I'm just saying. That tells us what kind of white female your mama is. That she was gravitating to crackheads. Probably tells us how you conceived. And I'm not being mean right now. What I'm saying is that it probably tells him how he was conceived.
Oh, yeah.
If he were to really think about it, because your mom ain't going to tell you that. But if he were to think about it, he might have been conceived over a table full of paraphernalia. Lastly, you can get black folk to ignore anything if you give a free concert.
Oh, yeah.
And don't you know that white supremacy will pay Jay-Z to give a nonstop tour at Madison Square Garden while they kill black folk one by one?
I'm going to add something to this because, as you already know, I've said this before in a broadcast, I'm just retiring from the military, and in 22 years of being in the military, I will let you know that a lot of black folks are extremely disappointing, and it goes to the point that you said. They will be willing to go overseas and do deployment and die, okay, and in the name of freedom, okay, but they are the most sheepish when it comes time to protecting our own as far as black men. Black men are some of the black folks I've served with are some of the, no, brother, you know, we go over here, we defend freedom, and I say, okay, so what happens when they kill black men in the streets here in our country? What are you going to do then? Well, you know, you don't know what they did. Why is that the first words out of your mouth? You don't know what they did, okay? Why is it where when you talk about deadbeat dads, they have no problems plastering the pictures of guys that don't pay child support. They have no problems pasting pictures of black men who don't pay child support. They don't have no problem pasting up the pictures of a black man that robbed a liquor store, okay? They don't have no problem pasting pictures of the black man who allegedly do this or do that to other people, but you can't find a picture of the officer that strangled that man this week. You can't find, you got a name, you just got a name, as Professor Black Truth just said. That just broke just now. They took his badge and his gun away from him and put him to death duty. That just broke now. Okay? They have not, you can't see a picture of him. Had it been the other way around, had it been a black man shot a cop, it would have been plastered everywhere. CNN,
and
they Fox
wouldn't
News.
Let you, they wouldn't let you have a memorial.
Right.
And they wouldn't let you, as we just saw in Jersey City, and by the way, they won't even let you, they, if you put a memorial up where he got killed at, they wouldn't let you put up a memorial, by the way.
Okay. It is time for us to wake up. It's time to stop the foolishness. You know, and that person in that damn chat room that sat there and said, oh, I'm a regular caller in the Tommy Show, let me tell you that brother something. You show the proof, and I dare you, okay? I know the exact day I called into that brother's show, and that brother cursed me out and hung up the phone on me when I questioned him about his damn documentary that was never going to come out. That's the last time I called him to ask him a question, okay? And that brother ran with his tail between his friggin' legs and hung up the phone on me, and after he cussed me out, okay?
Well, he didn't mean to. I mean, it's the Russian pulled some voodoo, so he didn't mean to.
Yeah.
That white supremacy is a hell of a drug, brother. Let me tell you.
That's a big man to cuss another black man over the phone and hand him in his face. Okay, but we'll bow and tell you, well, you know, that man brought it on himself. He could, you know, he was contributed to his own death. You talk a lot of big stuff on your show. And you talk a lot of big stuff over the phone and on the internet, okay? But you, for how dare you sit there and say, oh, he brought it on himself. My last point is I commend what you're doing for all those. And if you listen to my voice, for everybody that's in this airshot, anybody that is bootlegging either Hidden Colors 3 or who dares bootleg freaking 7 a.m. when it comes out, I swear to God, I mean, I don't care how many people sit there and say, well, they didn't know. Nobody is stupid. Everybody knows the rules and the laws when it comes to illegal bootlegging stuff, okay? You're all black. Everybody's been to a barbershop. Everybody's seen the dude on the corner. Everybody's seen it. So when people were saying, oh, so-and-so didn't know, they made a mistake, please, you were right along with them. Get the hell out of here. We don't want you. We don't need you, okay? And we will not stop putting that proverbial foot up your ass until you figure it out. You're going to spit up boots out your mouth. My foot going to be so far up your ass if you keep doing that. That is not what we're here to do. I don't understand what is this. Okay, well, it's all sold out. I lack the patience to wait for me to get my order. I can't wait. So I lack patience, so I'm just going to get this link, and I'm going to share it to everybody that I know, and I'm going to brag about it on the internet. And then expect no repercussions, and you want people to take it easy on you. And for all the punks and the simps that want to sit there and say, oh, why are you attacking this female, the Queen Mother Earth, you hotep sorry pieces of crap. I mean, I'm through. Like, this week alone, I've been extremely aggravated and completely frustrated with black men and black women, okay, that want to, like you say, have one foot in the door and one foot out. It's time to choose. It's time to choose. The games need to stop. The games need to stop. For all those, I remember all those folks that went to the post on my timeline that they was downtown at the J. Cole concert. I got that mental note. I got that note. I remember All those are one of the poster pics. Yeah, I was downtown. J. Cole, $1 concert, New Edition concert. Ooh, a black man was murdered in the streets this week by the NYPD. I haven't heard nothing from anybody in New York. Nothing. Nothing from the people that I know in New York. None of them have said anything. Nothing. What do we need to do to protect ourselves? I told you, I quoted a famous HBO show. Since y'all love to watch The Sopranos, what did that song say at the beginning? Woke up this morning and got yourself a gun? It's time for y'all to start practicing your constitutional right to bear arms. You see all the white folks loading up. I guarantee you once we start loading up, they'll be ready to change gun laws right then and there.
You can't be a white person. Oh, after Trayvon Martin, what we found out was that you cannot be a crime that a white person commits against a black person can be considered punishable. That was what we found out.
Mm-hmm.
I'll let you have the last word, brother.
Brothers, y'all keep up the good work. We will not stop. We will not stop. We cannot stop. And always, black first, brother.
Black first, brother. Thank you very much for joining us here today. Let me grab caller from 678. You're on live with the Black Channel.
Black first TBA, how's your night?
Brother Drake, what's going on, brother?
Man, I'm just listening to that, the high yellow fella, and hearing him talking about his mammy and how you're a so-called racist, and, you know, I mean, I know you say he was in the Navy, and I was too in the Navy, so I don't know what that fool was smoking. I guess maybe he got it from, you know, his crackhead mama or some shit, because you should know how racist the Navy is, how the military is. Any black man with some sense will tell you that. Unfortunately, most black men in the military, I can attest to this, are a bunch of coons. They salivate over white women like Pavlov's dog.
Because they
really
have that opportunity, you know. I mean, especially if they're dudes in the ghetto, they're just used to a bunch of ragged-out crackheads. So when they take them to some place like Italy or Belgium or France or Okinawa or something like that, them Negroes are mind-blown because they're like, wow, take a look at this. They never would have gotten them given the time of day before then. And the only reason that those folk are smiling at you there is because you're part of the U.S. military. If you were just the average black male, they wouldn't say nothing to you. They just want what they want. But as males, we're weak in that regard as black men because we're not building anything. We don't have any power over which to leverage for our own credibility. So for that reason, we don't do that. We don't think in that way. And the other thing is, take a look at how easily he was able to sit here and go along and toe the line. He showed everybody in one fell swoop that the real problem, brother, is that most black males like him, they gauge themselves by how much they can tolerate and how much of the punishment of white supremacy they can take. As far as their
concerns,
being humiliated and being laughed at, being mocked, being publicly embarrassed, all those things are just showing white supremacy that I'm tough enough to hang with you. At no time are they ever trying to stop white supremacy. They are trying to, as Professor Truth said, out-civilize it. But they're not.
Well, you know what they say, TBA. The mother is the first teacher of the child. And white women, they teach their children, well, not the half ones, but the full ones, how to conquer the world. And black females teach their children here and abroad how to be meek and weak. And you know the rest.
And some of us are showing that.
Yeah.
Some of us are showing that. And it's going to be up to us as the intelligent realm of black society to show that, you know what, you're probably going to slaughter a lot, but you're not slaughtering us. And we need to take these as our lessons. Understand, if we don't take threats seriously, if we're sitting up here talking about we got one foot in black society and the other foot up our ears, then understand something, brother, that them cops ain't playing. The court system's not playing. And what he's waiting for is he's waiting for white supremacy to do something overt to him that he can't ignore. Then he'll be against white supremacy. But up until then, hell, you Negroes are on your own. I'm just a high yellow dude. I'm in between. It doesn't work that way.
Nope. It doesn't work that way. Well, my advice to black men, don't sleep with stupid women. If your wife, if your future wife ain't telling your children, you know, to be a warrior, you should not be messing with her. Black first.
Black first, brother. Thank you very much for joining us here tonight. Let me grab caller from 773. We're on live with the Black Channel.
Hi, PBA. This is Naima from Chicago.
Naima from Chicago. That's from you in a minute.
Hi. I know. I actually have...
Are you in a nice, quiet place, Naima?
I think I am. Am I clear? Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're clear. I just want to make sure it stays that way. It usually starts that way. I just want it to stay that way.
You know, I start to move, and so I just decided to find a nice, quiet place and not move. That's the key. Don't move. But, I have a guest in the family.
What's on your mind?
I just wanted to call in. I've been listening, but something really sparked me, and I just really want to call in. And I have a point. And, well, one of the many traits that I can proudly say I inherited from my father is the gift of listening. I do a lot more listening than I talk. And the young man, the mixed man from who claimed he was from the Navy, I could tell that he was I can't really explain it right, but I knew he would crack. Is what I'm saying. I knew he would crack. He wasn't so much upset with you calling him son. I want to put that out there, is that it wasn't, he wasn't mad at you for calling him son. He was mad at the fact that he couldn't go on you on anything else besides that, because he didn't really have a defense when you said he was naive, because he was. And let me say that just because your mother is white doesn't mean that she's a good mother. You can have a bad Asian mother, a bad black mother, a bad white mother. And when he said that his father was a crackhead and this and that, I could tell that he really disliked men, especially black men. And that's so unfortunate, you being a man yourself. And it was like, just as you said, he was trying to defend his other side. He claimed that he had the best of both worlds, or what he said, he had both an outlook on both sides. I always believe that the one drop counts. It really takes five generations for the white gene to really be dominant over, not even that. It takes more than that, because a black person and a white person can have a baby. The baby looks black. Black is very dominant. So you can go all day and say that, oh, I'm mixed, and, you know, I'm more in touch with my white side. But you look black, and you're black.
Well, here's the thing. His mother taught him to have disdain for black people. What you point out about his deference, that about his white mother, nothing bad to say. His dad, first thing out of his mouth, his dad's a crackhead. Talking about his neighborhood growing up, he said, they used to beat me up because I was a high yellow kid. Cry me a river. Every high yellow kid's got a story like that. Would you like to hear what white folk used to do to me when I was a kid? Would you like to hear my story? I didn't think so.
But he doesn't want to hear that.
So, in any case, and I'm pretty sure the white kids were no different with him, but you see, he had a white mother as an offset. So he's had a choice to make, and she has imbued in him and endowed in him all of her hatred and disrespect, because she went for a walk on the wild side with a black male, and things went into a car wreck, and now she's a pariah among white men. So all of that,
and not even just,
she has transferred to her son. Now the other part is, he didn't get upset because I called him son. Okay, let me just tell y'all that he didn't get upset because I called him son. Did you hear what I said to him right before he exploded? Now, first of all, that's the thing about biracial. Biracials are very, very emotional. By the way, they are just
conflicted.
They are just these balloons just bursting at the seam with emotion. They're just ready to just gush all over the place. That's the worst part about being biracial. They are just chock full and bursting at the seams with emotion. They just can't control themselves. But the other problem is that, and I only say that slightly facetious, but the other problem is that when I said to him, that you cannot ever have a problem or object to white supremacy when you tell people that I have a foot in both worlds. Because by definition, you cannot be against white supremacy and simultaneously be a part of it. You cannot be, by definition. You can't sit here and say, I'm against it, but I'm for it. I'm not with it, but I'm a part of it. It doesn't work that way. And what he what the first time in his life he was ever brought to a place where we are uncompromising. And he really didn't know what to do with that. He didn't know what to say about that. That we told him, you can take both sides if you want to. Just remember, don't you ever open your mouth again to talk about white supremacy or white folk being bad to you. Don't you ever say that again. He went off the rails. Because he wants to have the ability to say he hates being black, but he can't be white. He wants to be white. He wants to be that which he can never be, and he despises the only thing that he can be. That's a hell of a situation.
And he never will. And the fact of the matter is he never will be white, but he's been stuck in this situation. You know, he mentioned within the 3 seconds the 3 seconds of his outburst, I can really picture his entire life, because he can't be white, but that's all he knows, because he said that his father wasn't in his life. So he has this filter of from his mother, from her point of view of how she views the world, because she can view the world in that way, because she is white. But he will never be white. He'll never be a white woman. He'll never be a white man. He'll be a black man, and when they arrest him and they put down, you know, they write his name and his number, and they put next to him his ethnicity, it's not going to say mixed. It's going to say a black male. It's never going to say, oh, this is a 6-foot-tall mixed man. No, he's going to be a black man. And he hates that because he's been scarred from his father. And the fact of the matter, his mother made a really bad decision in who she decides to have a child with. Once again, women, you need to really think. You need to really, really think about who you decide to have children with, because it will change the world. And, you know, this man was in the Navy. He was supposedly defending us. This man with these thoughts, this mentality. It's really disturbing.
I'll let you have the last word, sister.
But, once again, I always enjoy your broadcast, and I do want it to, but I'll probably touch base on it later, because it has nothing to do with the subject in hand. You wrote a status you put up a status on your page about pastors who make more money than their followers, and I guess I'll save that for later, but once again, thank you, and as always, Black First.
Black First, sister, thank you very much for joining us here tonight. Let me see if I can grab another phone call here. Caller from 702, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Hello, Jason. It's Devontae calling from Las Vegas, Nevada.
What's on your mind, brother?
Not too much. I did bring a friend with me again. He listened to the show with me once before, but this is the first time that he's actually been on the line with me. Julian?
Yeah, man.
He actually wanted to speak to you, because he's not really familiar with the broadcast, so I was talking to him back and forth, but I was just saying it'd be best for him to speak to you. Julian?
Okay. Well, did he have a question or something here? Or...
Yes, he does. I'm going to let him state it.
Well, I really don't have really much of a question. You know, I've been listening to your broadcast off and on, you know. Devontae kind of got me into it. I've been listening to you. You're a very, very smart guy. Only problem I have is that, you know, to me it sounds a little bit biased about the black versus the white. You know, I love everybody. You know, I have no issue with anybody.
Why are you mumbling? That's an anti-male trait. A male isn't supposed to mumble. I can't even make out what you're saying.
I'm not mumbling. I'm just, you know, because I'm mumbling. It's probably because I'm a three-way. That's probably why.
No,
I'm
not
a mumbler. I'm a strong talker.
Okay, well, I need you to talk strong right now because we can barely hear you.
I'm trying to talk small because I like talking to people, and I like to say, what I like to do is kind of introduce myself. first, and I do enjoy your show and everything like that, because I, like I said, I am new, like he just said.
Broadcast
or whatever. Like I said before, that some things I agree with, some things I don't, and me and Vontae have a conversation about how you are a strong black talker. I'm talking about really strong. And you're very intelligent, and just that I have when I was talking to him, I was like, you know, the platform you have right now, I think that you can do a lot better instead of being on a broadcast. That's it.
Thank you very much for your call. Let me grab caller from 816. You're on live with the Black Channel.
Hello.
Yes, you're on live. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
It is Imani, and I'm 6, calling from Dallas, and I was just reading about Eric Garner, and I decided to look up a bunch of cases like this, and then I went back to his news, where the news talked about his story, and I noticed how they did even say a man killed by police or brutally beaten. They said, how they said it. They really sugarcoated it. And I was really taken aback. It says, cop who used chokehold, stripped of shield and gun. That's all that Eric Garner gets on the news.
Exactly. I mean, you let them tell the story, they remove the fact that he killed the guy altogether. Do you know how many
exactly.
black men would have much better reputation if the headlines were written like that?
Exactly.
New Jersey cop, that black man wanted in association with assault on officer.
Right.
Black man wanted in case of incident with police officer. If they just called it
right.
incident instead of calling it a shooting or a murder, or black man wanted with gun incident with officer. So instead of saying chokehold, why don't we just say with gun incident or knife
right.
incident? Why don't you phrase it like that? Understand something. The media is against you. You have a whole bunch of people in the media who claim to be white liberals and they are white racists, but they want you to be caught. Because they want you to just sit there and allow them to keep framing the debate and the terms of the discussion under which you will be discussed.
Right.
They have no reason. You have to understand that the police work for them. The police
yeah.
are not out there to enforce an equal society. Damn sure not out there for black empowerment. The purpose of the police departments is to enforce a white supremacist agenda. That is their purpose. So you're going to have a hard time finding somebody in the dominant society who is against the militarized wing that promotes their interests. You're going to have a hell of a hard time trying to track down somebody in white society who is going to speak against the primary agent that is promoting their interests. Don't you know what the cops just did for gentrification in Staten Island?
Yeah,
I'm talking about with just this incident 2 days ago. With the murder of Eric Garner, what does that say to every single black male in Staten Island?
They don't have any kind of... they're telling us that we are below. We don't have any kind of justice. And it's really not even about justice.
With the murder of Eric Garner, what they are telling you is you niggas better clear out.
Yeah.
In the Wild West days, what would they do if they wanted to clear out of town? They come running through town shooting people at random. And what they just did to Eric Garner, that was their way of saying the black folk in New York, you niggas in Staten Island need to clear out. In the area of Staten Island, they're letting you know y'all niggas need to clear out. I could walk the streets of Harlem and sell cigarettes all damn day and they would never mess with me. I know, mm-hmm. And you know how I know? Because last mm-hmm. year, filming 7 a.m., when I did my documentary, I couldn't find a place. It was 2 in the morning. Couldn't find a place to park downtown, and I had to go do – we had to be up in just a few hours, so getting a hotel didn't make any sense because we were going to be leaving town.
Right.
And all I did was immediately drive up to Harlem. Where's the black side of town? Drove up to Harlem. Don't you know that police cars pass every hour?
Wow.
Once every hour, a police car would pass by this big Volkswagen. This great big brand new Volkswagen sedan, not a station wagon, y'all. Got this huge, this huge brand new German car. A black man is driving this brand new German car, and they pass by me for 5 hours.
Wow.
Once every hour, a police car would drive by. Sometimes two of them an hour. Never messed with me. Not even once. And I was just parked in front of an apartment building.
Right.
Out-of-town license plates, clear to the eye to see.
Right.
He's definitely not from here. But I'm in Harlem. I parked in front of an apartment building and sat there for 5 hours. Was never messed with for 5 hours in New York City, 2 o'clock in the morning. So if some jackass on an internet radio program tells you that if you show up in New York the wrong way, that the police would just do that with just anybody, I'm telling you that nigga is lying or a fool or both, because I'm from Louisiana and I did it a year ago. Just drove up to Harlem and just parked somewhere in front of a random apartment building and never got messed with. Because the police were saying, that's right, you where you supposed to be. This is what we got Harlem for you people. You're down here, we don't give a damn what you're doing down here. You're where you're supposed to be. And we're not going to mess with you, because if we did, you might come over to our side. And we ain't going to chase you around. You stay right here. And they didn't mess with me. I'm not telling you what I think. I got 3 people I can call right now and put them on this phone. Quentin Adams was our cinematographer. He was right there with me. He will tell you what happened when we went to Harlem. They didn't do nothing to us like what they just did to Eric Garner in Staten Island. They're serving notice on black men in Staten Island. Niggas, clear out. And if you don't clear out, we're going to blow you out.
And what's I wanted to be mindful about something, too.
I'll let you have the last word.
Okay, as a young, I'm 16 and I'm working hard in school and I'm black and I really want to, you know, get my grades and everything. And I can't help but notice that stereotypes are really, you know, there, and it's never bothered me before. And stereotypes are just becoming way, way, way more against me as a young black girl. And I've just wanted to, even black people have been discriminated against me. And it's crazy because they'll say this about old dark skins, and they'll say this about light skins, and every black girl has an attitude, every this and that. And I just wanted to be mindful that, I don't know if it was you or another caller that has said biracials are always personal or emotional or can't control themselves, but I know many that aren't, you know what I mean? And I just want to be mindful to not say that all of them. I mean, maybe there's half or some biracials can be emotional, but not every black girl has an attitude. Not every black person is, you know, illiterate. It's like we're taking on other characteristics, I like to say, that aren't like us. And I just want us to make sure that we're mindful to keep the stereotypes out and stop saying that everyone is one way or, you know what I mean? But this radio show has been amazing. I've called my mom and my dad, told everybody to listen because it's really good and I love this. So thank you guys for doing this.
Okay, and you said you're from Texas?
Yeah.
Okay, and where at in Texas?
Dallas.
Right. Well,
Plano,
this is what
actually,
we need.
Plano.
Plano. Okay, I know Plano very well.
Yeah.
This is why you need outlets like the Black Channel. This is why we need media outlets like this. And when it comes to stereotypes, remember, you are the most important step in that. Don't hang out with people who do that mess. And if they do, tell them how stupid it is. And don't even argue with them over that. But we need outlets like this where sensible Black people gather. We don't argue about dark skin, light skin, biracial this, biracial that. The guy called in, he said he was biracial. Okay, if he's in denial, I'm not going to argue with him about that. You carry on. You go be as mixed as you want to be. When the police pull you over, they'll get you straightened out. I'd like to sit here and argue with you over anything. You go right ahead and you keep doing that. As for sensible people and civilized people, they're meeting right here on the Black Channel where the adults get together. That's what it is. Thank you very much for giving us a nice sister, and please do call us again. Have your folks check in with us also. We're coming up short on time here, but I'm going to try to get at least a couple more calls. Caller from 915, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Hello, Black First, Mr. Black. My name is Brian. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Where are you calling from?
El Paso, Texas.
And what's on your mind, brother?
Well, I want to say that I am a regular listener. I've been listening about a year now, and I am a contributor to the 7 a.m. Project. I am also, if you want to call it biracial, as far as I'm concerned, I'm Black, always have been, always will. And I was compelled to call in when the individual who exploded on you, it was more of a meltdown when you started breaking down his defenses on and his denial on how on his belief that he wasn't Black. Individuals like that I run into a lot. I have a Black mother and a white father. Never met the father. Don't really care to. But I have it has never ever been a question of what I am and what I see in the mirror every day, which is a Black man. That's pretty much the reason why I've become a follower of the Black Channel.
Identity is important. I would rather have a bunch of high yellow Black men like Malcolm X. I'd rather have a few of y'all than a million Wesley Snipes, dark as they can be, and completely and totally useless to us. I'd rather have that. At least blackness has a future with men like you. Black doesn't have a future with a guy like him. Black doesn't have a future for people for whom it's optional, for individuals who are Black when it's convenient, for individuals who've made a career out of cooning and buffooning. Black don't have a future with them. Plain and simple. We need to be practical about this. Black has a future with someone like you. It doesn't have one with someone like them. At that point, it comes, I would rather have a high yellow female who wants to marry the darkest, blackest Black man she can find than some Cicely Tyson-colored individual who's looked for the first non-Black man she can get her hands on. It would seem like common sense, but we have to explain this to people.
Exactly. And I can also say that, as a Black man who happens to have a white parent, one thing that's always kind of gotten under my skin is African Americans or Black folks who are quick to leap to just about, I don't know, just have you ever, you've encountered this, and I think you spoke on it before, where Black folks will claim one quarter this, one quarter this, one quarter this, one quarter this, and will voraciously deny being Black. That is something that's always gotten under my skin. I'm in the military myself, and I had to serve with a girl who thought like that, but looked with much darker skin than me and clearly looked Black. That's always kind of gotten under my skin, and I check it whenever I can. But also, just to the young lady that called before me, the 16-year-old, it was very refreshing to hear a 16-year-old Black girl fighting stereotypes and fighting prejudice and fighting the biases that we are imbued with instead of embracing them on YouTube and embracing them on Facebook. If she is still listening, continue to do that. Do not stop, because that is something that we desperately need.
Well, thank you very much for checking in with us, brother, and please do give us a call again. We're glad to hear from you. I'm looking over here tonight, and We've got a lot of people listening here tonight, and we're glad to have that. But understand something, people. We're not the fire department. You cannot simply go running around and deciding that you will coon and buffoon with the world star hip-hop, Madame Noir, VH1, love and idiocy crowd, and then say, okay, white supremacy has shown up. Where are those adults over there at the Black Channel? Because, see, when I see a spike in numbers, I know that we've got a bunch of people who are used to listening to coonery and buffoonery. Tonight, we've been talking about the murder of Eric Gardner. Eric Gardner was killed, strangled to death on video, murdered by the New York Police Department in Staten Island, on video for the world to see. He was killed. Broad daylight that would have shocked the world 6 decades ago. 5 decades ago. They talk about Kent State, and we have a Kent State every month in Black society in our major metropolitan areas. He was not fighting. He was holding his hands in the air in an I surrender position. He was not fighting anybody. And yet he was killed. And yet he was strangled to death. And there are Black people who are so scared, so cowardly, so desirous to bow and scrape because they have forged identity by looking at us as Black people, as Africans. They look at us through the eyes of white supremacy, so much so the point that they say it's our fault when the police do these things to us. Even if we're not fighting or resisting, they say it's our fault for doing it. It's our fault when it happens. Believe me? I found one person who thinks that.
So, you know, I don't understand. Like you said in your show a couple of times, you said sometimes we go ballistic. Just like at a time you said in your show a couple of months ago, you said, listen, Highway Patrol pulled me over. I ain't going to say what the fuck you stopped me for. You don't start off with, yes, sir. Why did you pull me over? You know, you don't start off by just cursing your ass off and threatening motherfuckers. You always picking on me, this and that. Especially if this is the first time you ever encountered this cop.
Right. Now, I want to say this to people, too. I want y'all to listen to this very well. Just because there's a camera on you does not mean the cop still won't whoop your ass.
Thank you.
So don't get Billy Badass because somebody's right there hyping you up talking about we recording it. And let me tell you something. That dude did cause a lot of his own death because he sat there and thought, because they're recording it, I can be ballistic with the, I can be belligerent with these cops. I'm just telling you from my point of view, death, because he sat there and thought, because something. That dude did cause a lot of his own death because he sat there and thought, because they're recording it, I can be ballistic with the, I can be belligerent with these cops. Something. That dude did cause a lot of his own death. Dude did cause a lot of his own death. That dude did cause a lot of his own death because he sat there and thought, because they're recording it, I can be ballistic with the, I can be belligerent with these cops. That dude did cause a lot of his own death. That dude did cause a lot of his own death. That dude did cause a lot of his own death because he sat there and thought, because they're recording it, I can be ballistic with the, I can be belligerent with these cops. I'm just telling you from my point of view, and a lot of you niggas don't get it. The people who are around you egging you on ain't going to do shit when they start whooping your ass. See, they start whooping his ass, and the people were there were just filming and talking. They didn't do shit to help him. Just because there's a camera on you does not mean the cops still won't whoop your ass.
Thank you.
So don't get Billy Badass because somebody's right there hyping you up talking about we recording it. And let me tell you something. That dude did cause a lot of his own death because he sat there and thought, because they're recording it, I can be ballistic with, I can be belligerent with these cops. I'm just telling you from my point of view, and a lot of you niggas don't get it. The people who are around you egging you on ain't going to do shit when they start whooping your ass. See, they start whooping his ass, and the people who were there were just filming and talking. They didn't do shit to help.
Now, let me tell you something out here, people. That guy was not fighting anyone. He wasn't being belligerent. He wasn't arguing. He wasn't fighting anybody. Go look at the video, and I dare you to show me where the point at which he was fighting them, the point at which he was belligerent. If they arrested him as many times as they did before, they knew he was not a physical threat. You've arrested him a bunch of times before. This guy's not a threat. You know that. So understand something, and let me make this very, very clear tonight. If you are a listener to the Psycho Mayor show, I want you off my website. I want you off my Facebook, because I don't subscribe to coons. And I don't subscribe to 21st century Buck Denton and Samboism. That ain't me. Never was. I gave credibility to a fraud, because the fraud did not have black credentials, and I did. And when I saw that those credentials were being abused, I revoked the license down. But there are a bunch of you who see this as entertainment, and I don't. That's the way it went down, because this is life and death. And Eric Garner just found that out. This is life and death. And many of you are out here acting as if it's entertainment. But what that clown just showed you is that when white supremacy rolls up on one of y'all, he's not going to be there for you. Can you imagine Eric Garner's widow and his six children? The man had six children, and yet this psychotic bastard is out here saying that this guy was responsible for his own death. And there's a bunch of you still co-signing and acting as if there's something honorable there. Get the hell away from me. I don't want you around here. You are all officially banned. And if I see you over there, I'll do it immediately. And don't even bother asking why you're gone. It's the 21st century, and we got a bunch of Negroes who want to be black, but only when white supremacy has rejected them. When you can bounce a Russian female on your lap, damn black folks, F the black community. And a bunch of y'all sat there and hee hee, ha ha ha, yeah, that's funny, hee hee hee. I don't want the hee hee ha ha people here. I don't want a bunch of overgrown ass adolescent brats. I need adults. I need grown people who recognize the situation that we're in and are willing to stand up and do something about it. But understand, people, when white supremacy comes for you, the response that he just gave that dead man's family, the response that he just gave that dead man's family, that's going to be the one that he gives your family. Because it's a game to him, and it's a joke to him, and to all his listeners, it's a joke to those people. That Sotomayor, world star, hip-hop, Madame Noir, loving hip-hop, loving basketball, coon and buffoon crowd, who's been gender warring with each other now for 10, well, in his case, for 3.5 years, because he's new to it, though he's had mommy issues his whole life. But all those folk with their damn gender warring, meanwhile, white supremacy is on the march. I don't want you here. You're not welcome. Because when black people are under siege, we need black people who are going to stand up for it. And that starts with you standing up for being black before the barbarians are at the gates. And I shouldn't have to play a clip like that for people for them to understand how fraudulent individuals like that are. I shouldn't have to play a clip like that before you are disgusted with what you've seen and what you heard. Lie Machine laid it out for you. And for anybody that clip was not enough for you and everything we've done before now was not enough for you, go away. Don't come back. I don't want you around me. Plain and simple. Caller from 214, you're on live with the Black Channel. Caller from 214, last try, you're on live with the Black Channel. Caller from 502, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Black first problem.
What's your name? Where you calling from?
My name is Derek. I'm calling from Louisville, Kentucky.
What's on your mind, brother?
Please tell me that wasn't Tommy Sotomayor who was saying that.
Okay. I won't tell you it was Tommy, but I'll just play it again.
I don't understand. Like you said in your show a couple of times, you said sometimes we go ballistic. Just like at a time you said in your show a couple of months ago, you said, listen, Highway Patrol put me over. I ain't gonna say what the fuck you stopped me for. You gonna start off? Yes, sir. Why did you pull me over? You know, you don't stop by just cursing your ass off and threatening motherfuckers and you're picking on me, this and that. Especially if this is the first time you ever encountered this cop.
Right. Now, I want to say this to people, too. I want y'all to listen to this very well. Just because there's a camera on you does not mean the cops still won't whoop your ass.
Thank you.
So don't get really badass because somebody's right there hyping you up talking about we recording it. And let me tell you something. That dude did cause a lot of his own death because he sat there and thought because they're recording it, I can be belligerent with these cops. I'm just telling you from my point of view, and a lot of you just don't get it. The people who around you egging your own ain't going to do shit, and they start whooping your ass. See, they start whooping his ass. The people who were there were just filming and talking. They didn't do shit to help him. That dude did cause a lot of his own death because he sat there and thought, because they're recording it, I can be belligerent with these cops. That dude did cause a lot of his own death. That dude did cause a lot of his own death. That dude did cause a lot of his own death because he sat there and thought, because they're recording it, I can be belligerent with these cops.
So the man who sat there with his hands in the air saying, I didn't do nothing, I can't breathe, I can't breathe, I can't breathe, he was belligerent. The cops were not belligerent, he was. So I'm not going to tell you who that was saying it. I'm just going to say, you know what, I'll let it speak for itself.
You know what, Jason Black? I come across you through listening to Tommy. And I'm making an announcement officially on your broadcast tonight that I'm about to delete him from Facebook, and I'm never going to listen to this guy again, period. I mean, I haven't listened to him in months because the things he's been talking about have served absolutely no purpose for our people. And just the way that he attacked you at one time and then, he just started crying like a baby when you came back and smacked him with that shanking. I'm officially tonight, and Tommy, I hope you hear this, man. I'm so disappointed in you. You know, I looked up to you for a minute, my friend, but dude, I'm officially done with you, and I'm deleting you from Facebook, and I don't ever want to hear your voice again. And like I said, it doesn't make any sense. I watched the video. I couldn't believe it. The guy had his hands up. You know, he tried to get their hands off of him. And then once they grabbed him, he put his hands up, and they had no reason to take a doom like that. So I don't see where he caused his own death. But tonight,
in the 21st century, as black males, for a jackass who sat up here and tried to tell everybody that he was a voice for black males, for a clown who tried to sit up here and imply that he was a voice for black males. But when the rubber hit the road and Eric Garner was strangled to death, he didn't have nothing to say for black males except, well, you know, you niggas, that was your own fault, you know, when you think about it right there. Yes, somebody will say it was your own fault right there. You find out what people are about and what people are worth when the chips are down. And when the chips were down, shouldn't we at least give the benefit of the doubt to a black male? Even if you didn't see the video, I give the court system says you're supposed to be innocent until proven guilty. And what we found out is that you can get more benefit from the court system than you can during coon time. That's what we found out.
Well, you know what? He needs to be put on that coon train, man. I'm making an announcement tonight and anyone else that even associate themselves with this guy, taking hit the ground running, because he doesn't have your best interest at heart at all. And like I said, TBA, I was introduced to you through his show, through his broadcast, and I haven't been over there in at least 2 or 3 months because it's just sick, and it serves no purpose. I don't want to hear a grown man whining about Tyrone, whining about this person, whining about that. And, I mean, it just serves no purpose. And tonight, hearing this and hearing him, I'm officially done with him.
Well, what it shows you, what it shows you is that the intended audience over there is no longer black people. As a matter of fact, I don't think that the intended audience is American people, really. I think the intended audience is racist, white supremacist, anybody, that psychosis, that subconscious, that subconscious level that's really in operation in people like him, that's the audience now. When I said in Live Machine that you're dealing with a black white supremacist, I think it's finally revealed. I think it's revealed itself for the umpteenth time. And for anybody after this who is in denial about it, understand, I don't want to laugh. Because if you can look at a black man get strangled to death in the middle of a New York street, and you can still say that somehow we did something wrong, I ain't got nothing for you, period. I'll let you have the last word.
Thank you. That was very disturbing to see that brother go through that. And myself and a bunch of other guys, we all supporting you 110%. Donated to the 7 a.m. movie. I'm excited. I can't wait for it to come out. And just keep what you're doing. Keep up what you're doing. You have guys out here that's riding with you 110%. We appreciate you, TBA. And Black First.
Black First, brother, thank you very much for joining us. You know, I guess that's the way you figure you got to talk, because you want the next white female to know that you may be dark-skinned, but you don't really feel black folk like that. You ain't really feeling them like that. So I guess this is the way you got to talk to let the next bottom feeder from outside the community, because you're not trying to get something top rank. You're trying to get some bottom feeder now that you met on Twitter or Instagram. I guess this is the way you got to talk when you're trying to get their attention. And anybody who doesn't have a problem with that, I got a problem with you, and I don't want us to have any problems. So you got to go. Last call, caller from 510. You're on live with the Black Champ. Caller from 510, last try. You're on live with the Black Channel.
Yes, brother. Black First.
Did I interrupt the birthday party here?
No, brother. I want to talk about a situation.
What's
your name?
Oakland,
California.
Are you calling from?
I'm calling from Oakland, California, and I want to talk about
what is
a situation.
Name?
My name is Jay. I'm
what
calling
is
from Oakland,
Jay?
California. Yeah, well... I don't know if you remember, like 5-6 years ago, it was an incident out here where a brother had shot 4 cops. Did you hear about that?
Yes, that was Dorner.
His name was LaVille Mixon. And okay. I remember I was like, I went with a friend, and I was telling him, I was like, you know, they kind of deserved it because basically – they've been killing us, and they've been shooting us down and doing these things like they did to Eric Garner. And my friend thought I was crazy. He's like, man, you know, why would you say something like that? And I was like, because, you know, if you look at our history and what they've done to us, it's like, you know, it's kind of justified. And I'm basically like, I got into it with him, arguing with him today about the same thing. And he said, well, you know, you're crazy. You know, I don't know why you're talking like that. Now, I mean, do you think I'm wrong for talking like that, or?
No, at this point in the 21st century, everything needs to be black and white. You need to be unapologetic, unadulterated, and uncompromising. Everyone else has sold themselves out and sold themselves down the river, and they now want you to sell yourself, too. And what you are feeling is that African voice in the back of your head saying, no, don't sell yourself down the river. That's what you're feeling, and that's what you're hearing. That is what your instincts are telling you, and your instincts right. We're a little short on time here, but thank you very much for calling. Please do give us a call back here again. Professor
okay,
Black,
thank you, brother.
I'm going to let you go ahead and wrap this up for us, brother.
Reading from the New York Daily News article that we were quoting earlier, here's a little bit of ominous news for you. While the autopsy results on Garner were incomplete, the article says, sources told the New York Daily News that there were no signs of neck trauma on the heavyset victim. Then they go on to say, one source said the likely cause of death will be a heart attack, although other factors, including the illegal takedown of Garner, will, quote, probably go down as contributing. They have already written the man's they've already written his epitaph, and the body's not even in the ground yet.
Brothers and sisters, Eric Garner is gone, and so are all the others. The only question now is, are you next? Ask not for whom the bell tolls or who the sirens are coming for. They're coming for you, and now you have to make your choice. Will you be coons or kings? Will you be free men or dead dogs? The choice you have to make now. And this concludes tonight's broadcast of the BlackChannel.net radio. I am your host, your brother, your whole servant, the Black Authority. And until next time, brothers and sisters from around the world, remember, black is the future, and the future is uncompromising.